The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, of course, the breaking story this morning, of course, great news figures, half-year exchequer returns, an extra year-on-year 9% of taxes received, 3.8 billion. They're awash with money. And Jack Chambers, the new finance minister, incidentally says, oh, by the way, it's not the 8th of October, it's Tuesday the 1st of October. The clearest sign that you could ever get that they are actively planning the election campaign. I feel when the dole will rise next week, around about the 11th or 12th of July, the government will clear the decks at the end of July, make a decision on RTÉ. We're going to talk to Pat Leahy about that and lots more. But effectively, when they come back from their holidays on the 1st of September, everybody will be in campaign mode. Fine Gael have decided that all selection conventions will be held by the 22nd, finished by the 22nd of September. Of course, they may add candidates. So looking at the potential dates, I don't believe that they will do the finance bill enacted before. That isn't absolutely necessary. It's necessary by the 1st of January, but not by then. I think the polling day, if you look at the options for a four-week campaign, is either Friday the 1st of November or the 15th of November. Now, we invited the political editor of the Irish Times, the esteemed Irish Times, Pat Leahy, joins us on the line because he has a story on RTÉ. But let's, first of all, Pat, chew the fat on when you think the election will be.
Morning, Ivan. I wouldn't dispute much of what you say. I think it is possible that they will try to push through, and I think it's, in fact, I think it's likely that they will try to push through a finance bill and a social welfare bill by the middle of October. I've long thought that the budget was likely to be brought forward. I thought actually they might bring it forward into September. Instead, they've gone for a week earlier, in part, I suppose, because they couldn't do it on the 8th, given the European meetings. But I think if you run through what the finance mandarins are calling a bikini finance bill, in that it covers the bare essentials but does nothing else, and a social welfare bill to give effect to what they've agreed in the budget, you can do that in a couple of weeks, which means you dissolve the dole, call the election in the middle of October, and then you have a polling date on the 8th or the 15th. I think the 1st of November is a little early for two reasons, Ivan. One, you're still in the midterm break and lots of people may be away. Maybe more Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael voters are likely to be away for the midterm break. And secondly, there's the small matter of another election taking place in the United States on the 4th of November. And there is one of the theories knocking around government that I've heard, which is that if there's a Trump win in that election on the 4th of November, then maybe there's the possibility of a sort of a flight to safety amongst voters in the aftermath of that, which might benefit an incumbent government. So I think the 8th or the 15th, more likely than
the argument I heard against the 8th was the All Blacks are in town, and if the Aviva is full, it'd be more likely to be full of Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil voters than Sinn Féin voters. But I think we're only talking about a matter of days. I mean, I think also the strategy is to try and kick Sinn Féin when they're down. I think that they'll have a populist budget. The exchequer returns permit quite a flahouric budget. So I always dismissed, you know, rough sleepers dying in sleeping bags, trolley crisis in Limerick et al. In January. The last two elections were very bad for a spring election for the incumbent. And you actually leave yourself no wriggle room events, dear boy. You're at the vagary of that. So, I think an autumn election is a no-brainer, is it not?
Yeah, it is really, you know, I mean both those points you make are on the money, I think. I mean, it would be, I think, almost an act of political self-harm for the government not to dissolve in October, and go in November for the reasons that you've outlined. And of course, you know, again this morning, Jack James was saying the government would go its full term, and it will have to keep saying that, I think, because if it didn't, if, you know, if the Taoiseach came out and said something like, yeah, well, you know, we should make a decision closer to the event. Every time he faced a microphone, every time he stood up in the Dáil, he would be asked the question, when is the election? When is the election? So my guess is that they, you know, they keep saying the government will go its full term. And actually, if you listen to what some of the ministers say, they say things like, you know, the government will complete its work, or the government will go its, will go the full term, rather than we will go until 2025. Now, some of them do say that. I'm not sure they've really got the memo. But I think it is open to the government after the budget then to say this is the final act, the final meaningful act of this administration. Our work is done. We now put it to the people to decide. And I think they could do that reasonably. And all those times that they've said, no, 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 we'll go full term. I think it'll be forgotten at that stage.
Okay. One of the in-tray items that has been promised to be concluded, I think, before the cabinet rises, and will then fit into something that's much promised, is a solution to the funding problems of RTE. A couple of moving parts. The media committee yesterday came out with in favour of a recommendation that it would be fully Exchequer funded. And we have a situation whereby on Monday there was a meeting between the party leaders and Catherine Martin, the line minister, and they're to meet again next Monday. So you have a story on page 2 of the Irish Times today. New model would maintain licence fee income and boost funding for broadcaster. What are you? So the licence fee at the moment is €160 for everyone who has a television. Various other things have been discussed, you know, going back to Pat Rabbit's, you know, to do a charge on laptops or digital coverage and so on, right through to the Exchequer funding. First of all, do we know what it costs if there was to be Exchequer funding? Is it 300 million a year? What is it?
Well, the running costs of RTE are about 350 million a year or so. And what Catherine Martin has been saying in these private meetings is that, you know, look, the government is paying between, you know, its emergency funding for RTE at the moment, and the sort of license fee top-ups that it pays for people who don't have to pay a license, pensioners, people on social welfare, so forth, that it's paying 60% of that funding at the moment. And she's making the case that, you know, you just take on the rest of the burden. Now, some people that I was talking to point out that this 60% figure, this actually doesn't count as sort of a hidden subsidy, a hidden government subsidy for RTE, which is the vast amount of government advertising that the station runs. But be that as it may, Catherine Martin's argument, which she is continuing to make in public, is that, you know, the state should take on the full funding burden of RTE, do it on an arm's length basis through the new media regulator, Cumhsin na mBan, and abolish the licence fee altogether. This is really strongly resisted by a number of very important people in government, including aforementioned Jack Chambers, also Pascal Donoghue, also Micheál Martin. I think Simon Harris has kind of played his cards close to his chest at the moment, and clearly his attitude to it will be crucial. But what I'm hearing and what I'm reporting this morning is that there's a sort of a third way option being discussed, which retains the license fee, which, let's not forget, about 800,000 people paid last year, and that is, you know, it brought in, I think, about 130 million or so last year. And, you know, that is, it's an income stream that the Department of Finance and the Department of Public Expenditure are very, very reluctant to just pass up. So a sort of a compromise, and it should be said, of course, that just as Catherine Martin is making her case in public, so the other side, Pascal Donoghue, Micheál Martin, Jack Chambers, they're making their case in public as well. And so if you come down on either side of that argument, that's a very public defeat, humiliation for one side or the other. So what I'm hearing is being discussed is a sort of a hybrid system.
Yeah, the political reality surely is that the Greens are heading out the door. They could actually be internally divided after the leadership contest. I'm sort of feeling Roderick O'Gorman could win that on Monday, but that Catherine Martin is reserving her right, if she's re-elected in the Dáil, to stand again, because they must hold another contest within 6 months of a general election in their constitution. So they're in disarray. They lost their two MEPs. They lost half their councillors. I think Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil see a little bit of a boost by jettisoning Greens. So, I mean, Catherine Martin is heading into this holding a pair of twos, surely.
Yeah, but there is still the problem of RTE, and that one that is taken reasonably seriously, I think, by the government. And yes, the Greens are not in a very strong position, but there is within the system, as you will know, a sort of an institutional weight of the responsible minister. And remember, it's not just Catherine Martin. This is, the direct funding of RTE was recommended by Future Media Commission a couple of years ago. Her department is very strongly in favour of it. So I don't think that is just a matter of political weight. Now, clearly, if Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael wanted to, they could just say no. And, you walk away if you want. And maybe that's what Catherine Martin would do. But my sense is that there is still a willingness or a desire to come to a mutually workable solution, which is, after all, what this government has been doing for the last 4.5 years. Now, maybe that doesn't last that doesn't endure in the last few months of this government. But my sense is that there is a desire to do that at the moment. And this hybrid system is a way of doing that.
But just on the Exchequer thing, just on the substance of the issue. First of all, you said there's hidden subsidies with state advertising. They took TG Carr, 50 million, fully state funded, off the balance sheet. 12 million for orchestras, now paid through the National Concert Hall and through different, all which was previously paid for by RTE. Like, they've got a recent dollop of 20 million. They got two dollops of 50 million last year. How is there going to be any impetus for a new direction, for shedding jobs, for an independent Channel 4 model, if they're going to get the bailout of all bailouts, which is Exchequer funding, treated like the HSE?
There isn't, which is one of the things that makes, I think, the anti-bailout wing of government, if I can put it that way, so determined that the licence fee shouldn't be given up. Because there is, I think they feel, in the licence fee system, some element of RTE earning its way, or earning at least some of its way. And you're right, once that goes out the window, and there's a broader argument against the direct funding as well, which is that whether you do it through the mechanism of Cumhachúil na mBan or you do it directly, ultimately the government becomes the paymaster of the broadcaster. Ultimately, the broadcaster is going cap in hand to the government, looking for money, and that is not a good balance to have in a democracy.
Pat Leahy, political editor of the Irish Times, always a pleasure to speak to you. Insights there into the general election and what is actually going to happen to RTE. I wonder, could they end up making no decision at all?
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.